start your engines!
Bring them up, gang. Bring them up.
Here we go. History in the making.
Green, green, green.
As we hit December, it means we're closing in on the new year, and that means new challenges for certain teams. Who faces the biggest challenges in 2026? Hi, this is Brett McMillan. You're listening to the Pit Reporters. With me this week, Lewis Frank and Jerry Jordan.
Welcome to the Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network. And now, here's your host, Brett McMillan.
Hey, welcome. Glad to have you with us. Also glad to have Lewis and Jerry here as well. And obviously, as we are in the first week of December, the biggest story that has been going on is the one we didn't think was going to happen. We thought there would be a resolution between NASCAR and 2311 and Front Row, and instead they are in court this week. As we all speak at this point in time, they are still in court. No resolution yet. But, Lewis, one thing I want to do real quick, and I don't want to get into details because this is an ever-evolving story, and you know, where it stands at this moment, by the time you may be listening to the show, it may have changed. So, but one thing I do want to distinguish, Lewis, is a lot of us are used to what we have seen on TV and Perry Mason or Law and Order or whatever, where somebody sits at the back of the room in a criminal trial and goes, "All right, I did it. I hated him." That's not going to happen. This is a civil trial. So what are the differences between a civil trial and a criminal trial?
Okay. And I'll put it in plain language because I have to. Now, your listeners are very sophisticated. But when you watch TV, you see a criminal trial, the proof, burden of proof on the DA in that case. Here we have a plaintiff and a defendant. It's a civil defendant, not a criminal. The burden of proof is beyond a reasonable doubt. Now, that means you have, like, there can be no doubt whatsoever. And usually criminal cases will have 12 jurors. This case has 6 and 3 alternates. In a criminal case, you need a preponderance of the evidence. Okay, in simple language, you prove by 51% your case, and that's all you need. But there's 6 jurors, so, I mean, each one has to be convinced. In a criminal trial, it has to be unanimous, and I'm not really aware of what the rules are in the Western District of North Carolina, so I don't know if you need a majority ruling or if 4-2 would take the victory in this, but that's the simplest way I can put it.
That's the difference. And I think, Jerry, as I talked about at the top, I think the biggest surprise in all of this to most of us is that this ever got to trial, because I think most of us expected that at some point this would have been settled ahead of time.
I predicted this would have been settled a long time ago, definitely before they hit trial on Monday and did jury selection and put 9 people in the box, so to speak, six jurors and 6 and 3 alternates. But over the weekend, I talked with some people, and they were like, "We're dug in. We're going all the way to the Supreme Court if we have to." And that's on both sides. So that said, this won't be over unless a settlement is reached. We will be dealing with this case for at least 2-3 more years.
Well, one thing, Judge Bell says, "I don't want this case to continue." He's being very precise on rules of evidence. So we'll see.
But Lewis, everybody has a right to an appeal.
They do, but appeals can be denied if the judge doesn't make an error.
We'll see. I mean, I will say this, of all the cases that go to the appeals court on in our appeals district, I don't know about yours, but, you know, only 30% are taken up on appeal. And if they lose the appeal and they go to the Supreme Court, that's like 1% of those 30%. So if you lose and you appeal, your odds are not in your favor to get an appeal heard, and even less in your favor to get an appeal, ruled to overturn the original verdict.
All right. And so, not to put everybody entirely to sleep, the Supreme Court doesn't have to take an appeal.
Exactly.
They can turn it down. So this story may drag out. hope it doesn't. I hope the fans get to see a lot of good racing.
Well, and that becomes the question is, and I know this has been a discussion on SiriusXM Radio, and is this something, A, that the fans really care a lot about at this point, or is it something they're going, you know, just get us back to racing? And Jerry, as you talk to the folks who are involved in this, and obviously it's very important to them, And for those of us that cover the sport, it's very important to us because none of us really know either way who wins, who loses. It doesn't really matter. It could reshape this sport one way or the other.
I think one way or the other, it will reshape this sport. I don't think we go back to a status quo of what we had in 2025. I said this on another podcast. At the end of the day, if 2311 wins, it could completely shake up NASCAR. They could have to sell tracks. They may have to sell, parts of things that we don't even know that they have operational-wise. They may have to give up the charters. They may have to, they may have to make them permanent. That's the thing we don't know. If NASCAR wins, we're pretty much 100% guaranteed that 2311 does not have a charter. They don't have a charter right now. And if NASCAR wins, they're not going to give them a charter. One of the reasons I think that they got to this point, there was a big argument over who's going to pay legal fees, which are, $100 million plus right now. So I think that, that was one of the sticking points on actually reaching a settlement. When you go to court, Lewis is an attorney, or former attorney.
No, you can check out, but you can't leave. It's like Hotel California.
I know, but you ain't practicing, brother. Uh-huh. I've tried to hire you.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm only licensed in New York State and the federal courts in New York State.
Yeah, you can get a waiver for that. And I know, and you and I both know.
Yes, but, I can. If you want to hire me, I can represent you.
So
you got 1500 an hour. I'll be happy to.
Hey, you're cheaper than Jeffrey Kessler.
Oh, dang.
So let me say this, because Brett, you asked about whether or not other people are interested. Have you been on social media? I mean, I know that social media is the vocal group, but this is one of those things where there are people on both sides, whether you like NASCAR, whether you hate NASCAR, whether you like Denny Hamlin in 2311, whether you love Michael Jordan, whether you love the NBA, whatever it is, there's people chiming in on it. And on Tuesday, when they went to court, there were more cameras there than there were on Monday. So the world is starting to pick up on this, and this is going to be, before it's over, a circus.
Lewis, I know that one of the things you and I talked about before the show was the fact that, as Jerry pointed out, and we talked about, it seems more clear if NASCAR wins what it looks like. But to Jerry's point, if NASCAR loses this thing, I don't think any of us have a real grasp on what that's going to look like.
Yeah, as Jerry stole my thunder, as he often does, they can force a dissolution of the NASCAR, which is a private company, and then you have not Speedway Motorsports, ISC could be broken up. You can look at the boards. Maybe there's some interlocking boards that have to be broken up. I mean, it changes. It could change everything. And the other thing is, there are some threats from NASCAR. They've got buyers. They say they've got buyers lined up for the 23XI charter. So if 23, their existence, and the one thing that's come out so far is that there's a lot of debt on 23XI at the moment, and who knows where that goes. So again, these effects, it's tremendous, and I think it will build, like Jerry said, it will build unless they settle. And what I think what's going to happen is when one side thinks they're losing, it's in court, then it will settle. But if they both keep digging in their heels, then we go to a verdict, all bets are off.
All we know is a lot of large figures have been thrown around and will continue to be thrown around. And I think it's hard for all of us to kind of grasp that kind of money that you're talking about. And that makes it very difficult. All right. There is racing to talk about, at least ahead in 2026. That will happen one way or the other. So we'll talk about that when we come back.
This is Kyle Petty for Echo Park Automotive. And I'm here to tell you why you should shop Echo Park before you buy a car, truck, or SUV. Over half of inventory at Echo Park is priced below $25,000. And car for car, truck for truck, Echo Park Automotive's pricing is $3,000 less than the competition. Maybe that's why Echo Park has over 95,000 five-star reviews. Echo Park Automotive is built to make sure you drive away happy. It's even in their name. Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
Whether your engine runs daily or only when you need it, Z-Max Micro Lubricant is the force you need against carbon buildup that can damage your engine. Combustion causes carbon and other harmful deposits to build up in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. And carbon is like sandpaper rubbing against your engine's internal parts. You don't want that. You want Z-Max Micro Lubricant. It soaks into metal and keeps your vehicle running at peak performance. Find out more at ZMAX.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter. Protect your engine to the max with Z-Max.
Doug Rice is your host for Fast Talk every week on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, this is Doug Rice at PRN. Join me every Monday night for another great episode of Fast Talk.
I watched the race on TV and they wanted to give him the mantle of greatest of all time, and he's won four races in a row, and so I can't do that yet. But I do think what we're watching is a guy who's changing the sport. He's changing the way the other drivers approach road racing. He's making them study. He's making them up their game.
That's Fast Talk right here on the Performance Racing Network.
Local radio brings people together like never before.
It's a beautiful hometown weekend out there. We've got
your local stations keep you informed and involved with music, talk shows, and real-time news updates you can trust. We are live and local. We are America's broadcasters, connecting you to what matters most. Text radio to 52886 and tell Congress to support your local radio stations.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to four messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Let's get back to more Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, welcome back. Along with Jerry Jordan and Lewis Frank, Brett McMillan, glad to have you with us. You know, and while the guys are dealing with all this court stuff, apparently they haven't been able to come up with a championship plan yet, Jerry. So we continue to wait to find out what the championship plan looks like for next year. I don't even think we have a qualifying plan for next year yet. So there are a lot of things on the table here that have to be decided. And we're, you know, let's see, January 5th. Gosh, we're 2 months away from the first race. We got some things that need to be dealt with.
Yeah, I said before the break, or you said we're going to race in 2026. I'm like, will we? We don't know what the qualifying is. We don't know the championship. To their defense, NASCAR's been a little bit busy lately. This lawsuit has definitely got them tied up with some stuff. So I'm sure they'll get it done. There's a lot of people still work at NASCAR, not as many as they used to have after many, many, you know, cuts, but they still have a lot of people working behind the scenes trying to get everything ready for 2026. I'm sure we'll hear something in the coming weeks.
Well, sooner or later, we got to get this done. I think people would like to know. I mean, Lewis, as you look at the big topic that has been for the last half of the season and now into the off season has been, what is the championship format going to look like next year? What if you were king for a day, or if you were the lawyer in charge, what would you make?
Don't make a face, Jerry.
What would your plan be?
Well, I like the plan where maybe you have a three race playoff at the very least. I mean, I'm really old school. I like the old point season system. Even if we had Matt Kenseth win in a boring year, you know, that was all year long. He had the most consistent finishes. And to me, a championship is all year long. It doesn't play well on television, doesn't give you your ninth inning moment, as they've said over the years. So I'm a lawyer who likes to compromise. So let's have a three race instead of one race determining the championship.
Do you still like the idea of a playoff, but with something that... With some average finish at the end.
It gives some extra storylines. It's artificial to me, but like I said, I'm all for compromise. So have an elimination for, what, seven races, and then the last three races amongst three drivers. Because one race is not a whole season. And you knew I was rooting for Ryan Newman way back when he made the final four at Homestead, just to be a curmudgeon. He had no wins, and he could have been the champion.
Well, that's true. You like to kind of mess things up like that.
Oh, yeah.
So Jerry, what would be your choice?
Oh, You know, I used to say I liked the playoff system. And I was conditioned to like the playoff system. I mean, it's what you're supposed to say. And you know, it, if you don't say it, you get, you know, frowny faces on your papers from NASCAR. But in reality, we did it for a bunch of years where Richard Petty won a bunch of championships and they were kind of boring. We also did it where Richard Petty could race at one race and then everybody else could race at one, another race. And they could do it like three times, four times a week. I mean, I don't remember all the formats of the championship going back to 1948, but at the end of the day, the idea that going into turn one at Phoenix on lap one, that Denny Hamlin and Kyle Larson and William Byron, everybody, those three could have been taken out and somebody else could have won the championship. When you can lose your championship on lap one or a lap 301, I have a problem with that. Denny Hamlin, honest to God, should be the champion, and a caution cost him. There is no doubt in my mind. I know people say, well, he could have taken tires or whatever. You shouldn't have taken four. The truth is the caution cost Denny Hamlin the championship. And for NASCAR, that's a relief because they're in court with him right now. But in reality, I think the fair thing to do would be, if I had to compromise, I would go somewhere along Lewis's. I might go more than three races. I might go four. But why not? I mean, just go back to 36 races. And you know what? If we decide the championship and it's anticlimactic and we're in, you know, October, we still got down there and people will still celebrate. And fans, for the most part, fans will be happy.
By the way, talking about NASCAR reaction, I remember I was at the Waldorf when they announced the chase for the Nextel Cup. It's not the playoffs. Everybody, they wanted the playoffs. They wanted to play, but we couldn't say that for a couple of years. And then all of a sudden, right, it became the playoffs.
In so- between 2016 and 2017, just so you know, because I branded and was working on a trademark for this. And it got changed. So just, you know, I'm a little bitter about that too, Lewis.
Yeah. See, now I disagree with you guys, and I made a note on this show. I still think this sport needs some kind of playoff. I am not an advocate for the 1-36 because I think it behooves everybody, teams, sponsors, networks, radio and television, shows like this. I think they all benefit from the fact that you've got something to get excited about through the summer months and into the last 10 races this season. And I made the point before, and I'll tell you this, Jerry, I love Ross Chastain. Love the guy to death. Ross Chastain would not be the star he is today if it weren't for the playoffs, because he doesn't make the move at Martinsville he made if it weren't for the playoffs. And so moments like that are created during the playoffs to stay alive in the playoffs. And if I'm a sponsor of the guy that's 10th place in points and we're doing a 1-36 race season, the guy's 10th in points in September or in August, nobody's paying attention to my guy because he has almost no chance to win the championship. But I think with the playoffs, at least, he's still got a shot. And I don't think, Jerry, I'll get your feeling about this, I don't think the Daytona race that sold out in September this year, I don't think that race gets nearly the hype that it gets now if it's not the cutoff race for the playoffs.
Might have a good point there. I mean, you know, the playoffs sell tickets, and that's what NASCAR cares about. It, in theory, gets people to watch television, but if you've watched the ratings, I mean, they're okay, but they're not out of the park, to use a baseball term. But, you know, I mean, I think if we're going to do a playoff system, let's do it better. Because one race where, like I gave you, it hasn't happened, but it could, you know. It could happen, and that should not be how you determine your champion is one lap should not determine your champion.
Yeah.
Unless it's because they're tied in points going into the final race.
Well, like I said earlier, that's why I would want, you know, have some modified thing. I would agree. Again, compromise. 36 races. We had the Matt Kenseth championship. They even made commercials about him being like a robot back then. And Jerry remembers that too. So yeah, I mean, it keeps some sort of playoffs, keeps the interest. But to me, just one race, or to Jerry's point, one lap shouldn't determine a champion.
Yeah, I mean, I can get on board with that. I can get on board with some kind of average finish, even though we were told that we shouldn't have to do math. I can get on board with some type of average finish as a more fair system, understanding that. I can get that. But I still think we need to have some kind of playoff, because I think it benefits all the parties involved in the sport.
You know, and it's a different world than when we started. You said the show's been on the air 26 years. We've got a different audience. I go back further, you know. And so people have a shorter there's more competition. People are paying to watch other people play video games. I don't understand that. You can call me an okay boomer, but we have a different audience. Jerry pointed out the TV numbers are not what they used to be in many sports, you know. And now gaming, a.k.a. gambling, is now determining many sports. So it's a whole different world now, and you have to keep people's eyeballs on this. So it needs a change, but with some compromises.
Well, and I'm not sure the TV numbers are as bad as everybody says they are, in part because I'm not sure the TV numbers that we're getting are capturing the streaming numbers, Jerry. I mean, TV think numbers. About Xfinity was up this year. Same network right. All year long. Xfinity got great numbers. Numbers were up. But I'm not sure we're capturing all the numbers from the streaming and the other ways you're watching.
I would agree with you on that. However, NASCAR is very quick to, when they have a good streaming week, they're very quick to send us a chart that says, hey, on streaming, we had this. It was up, you know, X over Y from, you know, last year. But when I would think that it wouldn't be good, those numbers just don't fall into my inbox, you know. So I'd have to go back and look. Or maybe I need to ask more often for the streaming numbers. You know, gone are the days of Joyce Julius when you could get, you know, impressions and value of dollar and things of that nature for what your ROI on your ad spend, et cetera, for putting a car on the track.
Joyce Julius, for the people out there who don't remember and not in the business, they sent you every week. I guess they had humans watching TV.
Yep.
And the number of impressions, you put a sticker on a car, they're going to tell you how many times and for how long. Golly, I must have been college students or high school students with stopwatches.
Yep.
And I would get a mail on Wednesday or Thursday with the numbers of impressions. So they really, they crunched the numbers back then. So thank you for bringing up Joyce Julius and Associates.
Yeah, they would tell you exactly how long that logo was readable on their TV set. It was
awesome.
And then they would take that and be able to monetize that.
Yep.
So, yeah, it was amazing.
Thank you for making me not feel like I'm the oldest person in the room, Jerry, even if I am.
No worries, but, you know, surely AI can do that for us now. Come on. Well,
obviously.
I'm sure it can.
Obviously, but they did it the hard way back then.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. All right, when we come back, as we head towards 2026, I want to find out who these guys think has got something to prove. Stay with us.
Listen up, fellow timeshare owners. If you're a timeshare owner and you want out at all costs, you're done, frustrated, tired of wasting money, you don't use the darn thing. Get out now. Hire the best bulldog timeshare cancellation team in the business. Their in-house legal team, headed by a timeshare cancellation lawyer, can help you fight the biggest and baddest companies out there that sell timeshare. At some point, you were using your timeshare, but now you're not, and you're tired of wasting money. Before you go to the poorhouse, Call right now and learn how you can stop the maintenance fees and put more money back in your pocket. Their services cost you a lot less than you think, and you'll save a lot of money over time. Call the Timeshare Exit Hotline now. It's a free consultation.
800-890-5957. 800-890-5957. 800-890-5957. That's 800-890-5957.
Catch Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown with Charlie and Debbie here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, it's Charlie and Debbie, along with NASCAR legend Kyle Petty, inviting you to join us for Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown.
Each week, we'll put it in reverse and take a trip down memory lane, looking back at that week's top 20 country songs from years past.
We'll dive into what made those songs and artists move the needle, what pop culture trends made those years unique.
And you'll get to hear me tell stories only I can tell.
So don't miss Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown right here each week.
Welcome to PRN's At the Track. I'm Lenny Baticki. We are PRN's half-hour weekly show dedicated to the short track, dirt track, legends, and kart racing across the Southeast. We provide our audience with the news and insightful conversations with the newsmakers from grassroots racing.
How did that help you this time to take this victory from a grassroots perspective?
I definitely felt like Martinsville was a lot harder than the other one.
That's PRN's At the Track.
Brett McMillan returns with more of the Pit Reporters here on the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, welcome back. Along with Lewis Frank, Jerry Jordan, Brett McMillan, glad to have you with us. All right, as we look forward to 2026, I know there were some teams that had some very disappointed years in 2025. Who's at the top of your list that really has something to prove to get turned around in 2026?
Penske, they had what, 3 years in a row of champions? Ryan Blaney probably had the worst luck of anyone who could win on any weekend, you know, early in the year. I think and Ford, I mean, no Fords again in the final championship. That's amazing to me. It was a GM versus Toyota Chevy.
They still won the race at Phoenix.
Well, yeah. Hey, I was at Miami when Greg Biffle, I think it was, won two races at Miami. I mean, yeah, it's a win. But it's a little bit like kissing your sister. It's terrific, but it's very pleasant. And you take the wins and you take the trophies, but they're in it for the championship, as we know. And I think they had planned to extend it to four in a row. So
it was kind of funny, Jerry, that Blaney won the race and said, "I finally win at Phoenix, and it doesn't get me the championship," because the year he won the championship, Ross Chastain won the race. But who's on your list for people that have something to prove in 2026?
Denny Hamlin.
If he decides to get back in the car, he's still waffling on that.
Yeah, I know. Denny's at heart, Denny's a racer.
Yep.
And he makes $14 million a year driving for Joe Gibbs Racing. So, that doesn't count any of his endorsement deals. So Denny needs to make money. We've learned that from the trial already, but so he'll be back in the car, I'm pretty sure. But if you're looking at, you know, if I had to think of someone that really, like, Joey Logano, like, fell off the planet, in my opinion. It's just bad luck for him, you know, and we're not used to seeing that out of Joey. I know Blaney had wins and didn't get to have the championship, but to me, Logano has he's going to come back, and it's an even year, by the way.
It's
an even year, so
that's
so,
his championship years.
Yeah. Exactly. So I will be placing my bet on Joey Logano before Daytona, I can assure you.
Well, let me ask you guys about one that kind of is the top of my radar, is Richard Childress Racing. They've done so well in the Xfinity Series, won the championship of the Xfinity Series, and yet their Cup program has continued to struggle. You got Kyle Busch is going to have brand new crew chief this year, but they just seem like they're so far behind.
Yeah, Reddick, you know, was a bright spot some years ago, and you thought they had turned the corner. I don't know about the relation that Kyle Busch has with his crew chief or the team, but I mean, he's got to be their leading driver, even if Austin is Richard's grandson. So I don't know what's going on there, but they're not the powerhouse they used to be. To turn the corner, you're taking on Hendrick, you know, you're taking on some other big Chevy teams. And like you said, it's a mystery how they get back. But that's a problem. That's part of the problem in today's NASCAR. It seems like the big teams stay the big teams. And once you fall off that top tier, you don't get back up.
What do you think about RCR as you look at them? And, you know, you're going to have the new Chevy body this year too, Jerry.
New Chevy body. And let me tell you, there's going to be a lot of momentum from Redneck Nation out there. Okay.
Oh, yes.
So,
you're telling me NASCAR might let them slide a few things to inspection?
Let me tell you, if I were Richard Childress, I know he's ticked off about some of the stuff that Steve Phelps said about him and what was said in the emails. I would embrace it. I would show up with Redneck across everything I've got in the entire garage. I would make NASCAR own it. Okay. There's a marketing ploy that not only would help Richard, it would help the sponsors and it would help the fans. I'm glad you brought RC up because I am pulling for them to do very well next year. And I think they have all the motivation they need, but if they don't have a marketing guy, they can call me. I'll hook them. I've already got some ideas, you know. If I can hook up gold coins and rednecks right now, we're good. Just call me. We'll set this up.
Well, for Talladega at the very least.
Well, let me ask you about Legacy Motor Club. They had their moments this year and seemed to be building some success as the year went on, especially John Hunter Nemechek really seemed to show some improvement this year. Can they continue that climb this year? I mean, Jimmy Johnson, they really retooled the whole behind the scenes more than anything else during the last offseason. Can they continue that forward momentum?
Well, again, you know, they're not the number one. Maybe they're not even the number two Toyota team. So, again, it's a hard road uphill. But these days, you know, the magic is all in the computers these days. The drivers have to be aggressive, obviously, and make the right moves. But maybe they need a little more R&D. I don't know. Could they? Yes, nothing is impossible. But today, the difference, a normal person can't see the difference between the tiers. But like the fancy word is law of diminishing returns. Once another engineer in another series said to me, well, you get to a certain level, and I'm sorry for you only listening to this, but hold it at eye level. And another team is at nose level. Well, the team at eye level is continuing to go up, where the team at nose level has to go up like double to be competitive. And that is the issue, again, with the teams now. That's what's happened in the sport. Years ago, you had teams that come, like, you know, like Jerry mentioned before, Petty. One time you couldn't beat Petty, but eventually some small team got it right. So can Legacy do it? It's big to make that move. They've got to get better than Gibbs in between years, or year over year, if you want to talk finance. They've got to get better year over year than Gibbs to compete at Gibbs level.
Can they continue that forward momentum, Jerry?
I'm going to tell you what I know about Legacy. Jimmy Johnson's in this for the long haul, I believe. I've talked to Jimmy. I have talked to the drivers. I've talked to some of the crew, not traveling crew, some people in the shop. The momentum will continue because morale has turned around 1,000%. They made some in-house changes, and I don't know what all they were. They weren't all told to me, but they made some massive changes. And about the time they started making those changes and moving personnel and changing this and that, and started listening to different philosophies, their performance increased. Now, that's the first step, okay? So we ran out of time. And I guarantee you, we're going to see them come out, and we're going to see them at the next level. in 2026. So how long does it take them to get to where they need to be up at the, they're going to get there. Now, I truly feel they're going to be where they need to be. Just based on what I heard from the drivers and what I've heard from Jimmy and others that I've talked to over there, because they've made the right decisions according to the people that I in the shop and everything that I've spoken with.
Is there no greater burden than high expectations? We'll discuss that when we come back.
This is Kyle Petty for Echo Park Automotive. As you might imagine, I know a thing or two about cars, and I'm here to tell you about a whole new way to buy a car, truck, or SUV. Did you know that Echo Park Automotive has over 95,000 five-star reviews? On top of that, every car that Echo Park Automotive sells goes through a 190-point inspection to make sure that it looks and drives like new, so you leave happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
In addition to traditional summer camp, Victory Junction also hosts family weekends, partner programs, and day camps. And the Victory Junction Outreach Program takes camp fun beyond our gates to children at hospitals and partner sites throughout North Carolina, South Carolina, and Virginia. Victory Junction makes the impossible accessible.
This is a place that needs to be here 50 years from now, 100 years from now. We are never going to run out of kids that can benefit from Victory Junction.
Discover how you can get involved at victoryjunction.org.
Lenny Baticki brings you PRN at the Track every week here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network. Here's Paul Doschel of Toyota.
We have a kind of robust program around NASCAR, and we feel that if we're going to be there and compete against Chevrolet and Ford, that we want to be able to tell that story. And so we feel that a 360-degree approach is the best for that. Radio fills a much needed void in our marketing program. Being able to have our commercial spots and the relationship that we have with PRN, where they talk about our vehicles as Camrys and Supras.
The Toyota GR Supra makes that hard left turn onto pit road.
As pace cars, you know, the Toyota Camry pace car or the GR Supra pace car adds a nice touch to broadcast rather than when it's just the pace cars coming out of turn four. So for us, it's really the coming together of a 360-degree approach to really make our program all-inclusive.
NASCAR Network Radio drives business. We're back with more of the Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
And welcome back. Jerry Jordan's here. Lewis Frank's here. I'm Brett McMillan. We're glad to have you with us on the Pit Reporters. All right, I said going into the break, Jerry, there's no greater burden than high expectations, and I think that goes for Connor Zilich. After the year he had in the Xfinity Series, when he had 17 straight top five finishes, going to the Cup Series now, and I think it's going to come with high expectations. So I think we should temper those, because he's going to be a rookie, and he's still a teenager.
Yeah,
let's temper those expectations, shouldn't we?
I think we've seen what he's done, though. He's had some strong performances, even when, you know, when he did make some cut starts. But he's made mistakes, and he's going to make mistakes. And he's a kid, but he's good, you know. And honestly, I think everyone is excited when they roll into Daytona. And usually by about the fourth or fifth race of the season, they kind of know, hey, we need to fix this or we need to fix that. And that goes not just for the car, but for the driver too. And they have to, they're going to have to, I think when we get four or five races in, Connor's going to realize that it's not all easy like it was in Xfinity. Or maybe I'm wrong. And he goes in and wins in the first four or five. And then, you know, then we're really in a you know, twilight zone. But I think he's going to be working on himself. I think he's going to be looking in the mirror and saying, hey, what happened to me over the off season? Did I forget how to drive? But I would like nothing more than to see him go in there and do great. But we've seen it before. Just because you have success in trucks or Xfinity, or trucks or the O'Reilly auto parts nopes or whatever they're calling it series this next year.
It's fastest counter service at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
There you go. Exactly. You know, that does not equate to Cup Series performance.
Well, and I think obviously to Jerry's point, he's had a couple starts in the Cup Series, but recent history says the difference in cars and the difference in intensity level in the longer races has been a lot for younger guys, for the guys making the move up, has been difficult to overcome, Lewis.
No question about it. Again, pardon my non-racing analogy, but pick the top colleges in America, and you get the top of their local high schools, and they get to the big campuses, and all of a sudden, everybody is the tops in the country. And this is what Connor Zilich is going to face. But two parts of this. Number one, again, we're in a new age. And I remember when Toyota had their, when they still have something here, they have psychologists. So when you say he's 18 or 19, he's talking to psychologists now to handle some of this. But yes, the days of Tony Stewart, what, he had two wins in his rookie year? Yeah, it's. I don't see multiple wins. Could he win a race? Sure. Look at Shane Van Gisbergen. Now, Chicago is not a good analogy to anything, but you know, given the right thing, I mean, Zilich, to me, and no one's paying me, but I think if you're a versatile driver, that's part of what makes you a winner and a champion. And the idea is adaptability. So if he can adapt, and if he's not intimidated, and again, in the old days, that was it. You had to be like 35 or 40 to get into what's now a Cup car, you know. And if you were young, they beat up Jeff Gordon like crazy, you know. So, but with the new things, I think Connor is just, you know, a rarity. I could be wrong, but I think he might even win a race. And everybody can make fun of me next year this time, but I wouldn't be surprised if he wins one race, likely a road course.
Is he in the right environment, Jerry? Driving for Justin Marks with teammates, you know, Ross Chastain, Shane Van Gisbergen. Is that the right environment for him?
I don't know anybody. They have the two strongest road course guys in the world, for sure. So there's that. You know, Lewis, Denny Hamlin won at Pocono in his rookie year, too, in a FedEx Ground Express car, I believe. Just only because I used to have the hood on the wall behind me.
You get being paid by FedEx to remember
no,
the
I
sponsor?
Wish. I wish. They left the sport. They left the sport, so I don't do business with them anymore. But but it's going to be hard for him to get a win. But I do think if anybody can do it, he can, and it probably will come at a road course. In all honesty, you know, I would, if I was going to lay odds, I would put him on Watkins Glen. But I will speak to one thing about the step up in something I personally involved. Like, I used to play pool, and I played on tours. I played on a national tour. I played professionally. But when you play on a regional tour, or you play in the state level, which I was ranked on the state level, but when I went up to the national levels, I only won one major championship, you know, one major tournament out of all the tournaments that I played in. Because as you said, Lewis, you're good where you're at, but once you move up, you're okay compared to what those other people are. You're all on the same playing field at that point. And it can set you back. And also, you talked about the mental aspect of it. There's a lot of stress in driving these race cars. I do some help with some drivers and trying to help them find rides and things like that. And they need that mental help. And there's a lot of psychologists out there for the sports psychology. Kurt Busch has used one. Tony Stewart's gone to one. That a lot of drivers through the years have talked to people, whether professionally or not, to help them focus and stay focused on the task at hand and not let it overburden them. And I think it's good for Connor to be doing that.
Yeah, well, as I said, Toyota, because I saw everybody who went through the Toyota ladder system up here had to go see, as well as a therapist, a dietitian. So I don't know what GM has or Ford, but I wouldn't be surprised if they all have something similar now, especially GM's research center is right here in Concord. So you have to do that. And you have to think like a winner, but you have to accept losses when they come. You don't want to lose. But if a loss comes, you can't beat up yourself too much.
Yeah, that's true. All right, Jerry, I got to ask. I've heard of Minnesota Fats, so what was your name?
I didn't have one. But my pool cue is back there on that shelf, that little bitty. It's back. Yeah. You can see it in the back of the in the bookshelf there.
Yeah. So. Actually, years ago, I played a game with Minnesota Fats, and he scratched. And then I got a little, he gave me a little card that said, I got hustled by Minnesota Fats.
That's pretty cool. I played in a tournament in Dallas, and he was there, and Eddie Taylor, Knoxville Bear was there. Moscone was there when he was still alive. You know, I am from that late 80s, early 90s pool era, when they did not have, the internet. So you won't find me out there playing. You won't find a lot of stats, but I did a lot of hustling in bars and pool rooms all across the country, all across the world. I really enjoyed it, but now I have a real life.
You should have had a nickname. All right, when we come back.
If I had one, I wouldn't tell you, Brett.
Yeah, probably a good idea. All right, stay with us. We'll be right back.
Listen, were you forced into getting a solar contract and now you just don't want it anymore? Maybe the solar company misled you. Or is your solar contract buried with hidden fees? Are you not saving the amount of money you thought you would on your energy costs? Don't worry. At the Solar Exit Hotline, we can help you cancel your solar contract, even if the panels are already installed. Our experienced legal team will review your contract and help you cancel it, possibly saving you thousands of dollars. You got to call right now for complete details. So listen, if you're not happy with your solar contract for any reason, we are here to help you cancel it. Call the Solar Exit Hotline now for immediate options to help you exit your solar contract. This call is 100% free.
800-471-3491. 800-471-3491. 800-471-3491. That's 800-471-3491.
Mark Garrow's your host for Garage Pass here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
These cars are about to fire it off in anger.
Logano back across the stripe. Now Zane Smith putting on some pressure.
Side by side, Austin Cindric has him at the line, and he will take the lead into one.
Boy, what a save. We got cars sideways. It's Christopher Bell. He spins and collects a couple cars. Here comes Shane Van Gisbergen on the bottom. He's looking for second.
Now Chris Buescher fired out of a cannon at turn two. He's right into the rear bumper of Ty Gibbs. Which way is it going to go?
Oh, it's a multi-car accident. I want to say 15, 20 cars. Looks like Austin Cindric is involved. Denny Hamlin. Guys, that took out about two-thirds of the field.
We have a fight on pit road between two crew guys. One of them is with Ty Gibbs. One is with Brad Keselowski.
Brad Keselowski will see the white flag as he drives under the start-finish line.
Chase Elliott has battled at the front all night long. He's won the war. Chase Elliott has just punched his ticket to the playoffs.
Awesome job, man. Awesome. Thank you guys so much.
This is PRN.
Let's get back to more Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
And welcome back, along with Lewis, Frank, and Texas Slim. Brett McMillan, glad to have you with us.
Gotcha.
Hey, Lewis, looking back on 2025, when you think back on this year, you know, a year or two down the road, what will you remember as the big stories from this year?
Well, obviously, not just because it's happening now, but this lawsuit. It's like a crash before in the old days before green, white, checkered. This changes everything.
Yeah.
Okay. So that has to be, how Penske, Ford and Penske just did, how there wasn't a Ford, doesn't just not just Penske, Brad Keselowski, still trying to get that team up to be, they've had wins. Not again on a regular basis. Will that team rise to that level? I see that. I remember that. Experiments like Mexico City, where Jerry went, I'll remember that. That's my, when I look back on this year, I'll think about that.
Jerry, how about you?
Lewis brings up a good point about Mexico City. I think that is, I think that was key. It was really good. I wish we were going back next year. I think the fact that we're going to a Navy base in 2026 and the announcement that was made for that is really cool and big as well. I'll be there to cover that. The changes that have happened through the years and with the scheduling and how they're trying to shake things up, Bowman Gray and North Wilkesboro, kudos to SMI and to Marcus Smith for what they did with North Wilkesboro. That is not only great for the fans and the sport, but it's also good racing we've seen, there. Those are big. We've seen those, through the past couple of years, but, personally, Kurt Busch going in the Hall of Fame. There's some things that I remember, from this year. Just Kyle Busch not doing well, and again, the struggles of some of these drivers. Those are things that I look at as a journalist and say, why did that happen this way? The way that Legacy is kind of trying to turn things around and what their team, usually when you talk to a team, they tell you all the bad stuff, but sometimes they say, look, we're doing good. We know we sucked, but we know we're going to do better and we have faith in that. And I think that to me tells more about what the overarching theme of the year. I think going forward, a lot of these guys that I mentioned will be better in 2026 and with new schedules and new cars and body styles and whatever else comes along. That'll be something that I think of when I get to 2026, about 2025.
Who would be, Lewis, your driver of the year?
Well, I have to go with Jerry. I think Denny Hamlin really performed this year. He did everything but, and like Talladega Nights, second place is first loser, so he didn't win. So I'd have to say Denny, and doing this while the lawsuit's going on, while he's fighting for his team to continue, whether you agree with him or not, he had a lot of distractions. And still to put it out of his mind and drive the way he did, he used to have an award driver of the year. I was part of that. So it went on not just wins, and Denny certainly had his wins, but on overall merit. So Denny would be my driver of 2025.
How about you, Jerry?
Well, obviously, I'm going to pick Denny because I made a point about him. I stayed away from the lawsuit stuff because you guys know how I felt about that. But if you're looking at across the board, Shane Van Gisbergen, I mean, is what he's did in 2025 was pretty darn good too. So not to the championship level, but just the way that he knocked off all the road courses and. Y'all correct me if I'm wrong, but that's like Jeff Gordon level, right?
Oh yeah. We've also had, as we've asked each week, we've had some Corey Himes,
right?
Oh yeah. We've had some Connor Zilliches too thrown in there too. You think about what those guys did in their respective series.
Yeah. Corey in his series, I mean, that was phenomenal. So he's another future superstar in this sport.
Yeah. So we'll see how it all plays out. Like you said, though, we talked about moving up. It changes each step of the way. Gets a little more difficult. That's the way it's supposed to be. When we come back, White Flag Laps. Stay with us.
Hey, this is Michael Walter for Echo Park Automotive, and I'm here to tell you why you should shop Echo Park before you buy a car, truck, or SUV. Over half the inventory at Echo Park is priced below $25,000, and car for car, truck for truck, Echo Park Automotive's pricing is $3,000 less than the competition. Maybe that's why Echo Park has over 100,000 five-star reviews. Echo Park Automotive is built to make sure everyone drives away happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal, so it's easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at zmax.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter to find out more about our full line of products. Remember the name, Z-Max, for your car, big rig, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
Doug Rice is your host for Fast Talk every week on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
My fiancé is a veteran.
I did tours in Korea, Germany, and Bosnia before I got injured.
When Yusuf got out of the military, he needed help getting his disability benefits.
Luckily, DAV came to the rescue. They fought for me the same way that I fought for my country.
Every year, DAV provides life-changing support to more than a million veterans.
My victory is never giving up and finding more ways to serve.
He's pretty amazing.
Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
Hi, this is Doug Rice at PRN. Join me for another great episode of Fast Talk. We have NASCAR Hall of Famer Kurt Busch. What does a much older, wiser Kurt Busch want to tell Carson Hocevar?
Well, let's bust out all the VHS tapes and you can watch all my mistakes. Try not to do those, Carson. I like what he's doing. He's learning and he's putting his time in up front.
That's Fast Talk right here on PRN.
Brett McMillan returns with more of the Pit Reporters here on the Performance Racing Network.
And time now for our white flag laps. And first up from kickingthetires.net, Jerry Jordan.
Okay, real quick, it's simple. NASCAR 2311, Team Front Row, settle this lawsuit. Don't go to the end. Following your swords, put your pride aside. This is not good. Okay, we shouldn't be here. Y'all both screwed up probably in some way, shape, or form. Look, let's fix it. Everybody have a big press conference, hug, kiss, whatever you got to do, and try to win the fan base back before the sport is forever changed.
All right. I couldn't agree more. Next up, former Reuters writer and lawyer legend, Louis Frank.
Well, this is likely my last show, so I'm still available for it, not just for Jerry. So, you know, I'm still working. But I want to thank, first of all, Doug Rice, who when I came down here more than a decade ago, he took pity on me and hired me to come here. And I've had a great time with Brett. And Alicia Lingerfeld, who was the producer way back, and she kept calling me. I don't know why, but I was here. And obviously you, Brett, and David, and Harold. I'm just so grateful to get an opportunity to express how I felt about the sport that all the listeners love. And thank you to the listeners and watchers who are streaming for letting me part of this. It's been a wonderful chapter in my life. So it's past Thanksgiving, but I'm very thankful for all of that. And thank you very much.
Well, and I will just explain, it's not because we don't want you back anymore. It's because at the end of the month, the show is going away, unfortunately, after 26 years. So we would love to have you back if we were continuing. So we'll just preface it with that.
I didn't even know that. Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Unfortunately, it's happening. So we've always enjoyed having you as well, Jerry. So we appreciate you always being with us as well. So I will talk about the fact that it is December. And as we come to the end of the year, we kind of close the chapter, close the book on what has been, I think, 2025 was a great year of racing. Had a lot of great things to think about, a lot of great memories from this past year. And we start to look ahead to 2026. And I think all of us would like to get this lawsuit behind us, put it all behind us, and start to look forward to next year. And I think regardless of what happens in this courtroom, we're going to have racing in 2026. What it looks like, I think it's going to look a lot the same, we think. But we'll have to wait and see. There could be appeals and whatever else happens. But hey, we're 2 months away from Bowman Gray. Just keep that in mind. Cars on the track, racing again, and right after that, 2 weeks later is Daytona. So it'll be here before you know it. Lewis, Jerry, thanks a lot for being with us. We'll talk to you next week. Stay with us.
Join us again next week for the Pit Reporters on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.